So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I've had a bit of a strange week. It's been a good week, a good God week, but it's been a bit of a strange week. So some of us have started up a prayer group, and we've started to pray together for the church and for the community. And I went home on Tuesday night after this prayer group, and I went to bed, and I was ready to go to sleep, and God had other plans that night. God decided that that was the time he was going to start talking to me, when I was really, really tired. And he started to talk to me about this Bible passage that we've read this morning from Mark. And normally when we read something like this and we start fresh with the lectionary, I like to go back and think about what's been happening. I like to start at the start of the chapter and explain what Jesus has been doing and lead up to it for you. And I did that, and then I thought, there's too much preamble there. And as I was reading it, God had given me one of the verses, verse 34, and he'd really spoken to me about verse 34. And I spoke to Tim about it, and he said, you know, sometimes the thing is the thing. So the thing is the thing this morning, and the verse is the verse, and that is what I'm going to be preaching on. So I looked at it in a few different translations, but I really like the New Living Translation. It really speaks to me. It kind of brings the word alive for me. So I read verse 34, and this is what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, "The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his servants instructions about the work that they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return." Now, for me, that image of a man going away on a long trip was Jesus going back to heaven. And his servants, the disciples, his followers, they are the ones receiving instructions about the work that they are to do whilst he is away. And this spoke to me about the Great Commission, about what Jesus said to the disciples before he left this earth, and he knew he was going to be going back to God the Father. So I think it's really important that we think about what the Great Commission is. So we're looking at Matthew 28, and I'm just going to read that with you now. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for his departure, telling them that he's going back to be with the Father in heaven. He's risen from the dead, he's appeared to them a number of times, and he meets with them, the 11 disciples who are left, and he tells them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Three things, three key things, three key parts of the work that he told them to do. Go and make disciples. Go. Baptize them and teach them. And then this is followed really closely by Acts 1, when Jesus explains again to the disciples that he is leaving, but he commands them to wait until they receive the Holy Spirit. They're not to leave Jerusalem. They're not to start the work until they have received the Holy Spirit. And he says this to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all of Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The disciples are told again that they're going to be his witnesses, his faithful workers, and they are to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them and to teach them. But they're to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them so that they can receive power and strength to do so. They cannot do this in their own strength. So they've been given clear instructions about what they are to do whilst Jesus is away. This is the application for them from verse 34 in Mark 13. Now, I want to move that on. I don't want to speak for ages this morning. I want to move that on, and I want to think about what that means for us and how we should apply that. I really believe this week, and I feel that God's been saying to me this week, that it's a call to action here and now for us as a people in Wellington. Verse 35, the next verse says, "We do not know when the homeowner will return, and we are to stay awake and keep alert." The truth is that Jesus could come back tomorrow. And will he find us busy with his work? or will he find us asleep? And I think it's important not to confuse good works with the Great Commission. And I know that this is a really good church, full of good works, full of people doing lots of really wonderful and good things. But when is the last time you proclaimed the name of Jesus to somebody? When is the last time that you spoke the gospel into somebody's life and shared with them the good news of Jesus? Contrary to popular opinion, it doesn't happen simply by being nice to people. They need to hear the words of the gospel spoken. Romans 10 says this, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go to tell them without being sent?" But we have been sent. The Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples. We've each been given a job to do. We're each one of his servants for his kingdom. We're each called to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples, to be awake, to stay alert. And for me, this really signifies that we don't have time to waste. We should be getting on with the task at hand. How can they hear if we don't tell them? And what will they do if they've never heard about him? Now, the great news is that Jesus doesn't call us to do this in our own strength. We don't have to go out on our own and try and do it. We wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to empower us. But this requires that you believe in the Holy Spirit. This requires that you understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that comes upon you and empowers you and enables you to work and to step out for him in authority. If you've read the book of Acts, you'll know that running through the book of Acts is this theme of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit at work and people having this infilling. And the believers don't step out in power until that has happened. But once they have received it, they're empowered to teach and to make disciples. They wait, as instructed, for the Holy Spirit to come on them and baptize them, which is what we see in Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak in different languages, in different tongues, so that everyone around them understands what they are saying. And Peter lifts his voice and he addresses the crowd. No longer a fearful man, no longer a man who's denied Jesus three times, but as one empowered by the Holy Spirit with truth and with wisdom and with authority. The Holy Spirit gave Peter courage and bravery and strength, and he was bold to do his work. If you keep looking through Acts, you notice that after that initial fire coming down in Pentecost, the disciples went out and then they shared the Holy Spirit through praying for one another, through the laying on of hands. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be sharing that Holy Spirit with one another. To function effectively for Jesus, we need the power of the Holy Spirit living inside us. We cannot do this in our own strength. We are weak, but he is strong. He shows his power in our weakness. Now, as I was thinking this through this week, I had in my mind's eye the picture of a box. This is my box. I think we've all got this box. This is my God box. And God sits nicely in my box where I can control him and where he does what I ask him to do. And he doesn't get out of the box because that might be a bit scary, a bit challenging, a bit uncomfortable. He's safe in that box and he's quite secure. I quite like that. We know what he's going to do. We know what we're going to allow him to do. We know how we're going to allow him to move. Now, he might come out of the box on a Sunday. You might take the lid off the box on a Sunday. But only if he behaves himself and doesn't challenge you. Now, if there's a challenge, the lid goes back on the box. If he tries to minister to your heart and you feel like you're going to start crying, the lid goes back on the box. If you feel like he's calling you to stand up or step out, the lid goes back on the box. He might even say to you, go for prayer at the end of the service while the lid's firmly on the box. I'm not going for prayer. I don't need prayer. Why should I have prayer? And we might take that lid off our God box But we might only allow certain things to come out of that God box. You know, that's not coming out, is it? Because that's a pretty, you know, we don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do when he starts to roam and rule in this place. We don't know how he's going to deal with us or handle us. And we're a bit uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit and how he moves and how he causes us to feel perhaps a bit emotional. No, we'll just leave him there. Okay. The idea of the Holy Spirit coming in power and filling us can be so scary and so uncomfortable and not at all very British. We don't like anything in church that makes us emotional. We don't like things that cause us to step out of our comfort zones. But unless we take the Holy Spirit out of the box, and unless we allow him to roam in this place, then we're going to be unable to fulfill the Great Commission. You cannot do the work God has called you to do if you are not working in the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it in your own strength. Try as you might, you will be worn out, burnt out, tired, empty, lost. You can't do it. You have to have the Holy Spirit. So if we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, we can work in his power and in his strength. The Holy Spirit does the work for us and through us. It's not us. I stand here and I pray, God, will you speak through me? Will you work through me? Because I know that in my own strength, I can't do this. My natural default position is at the back of church, sitting down, just sitting quietly, thank you very much. But I have chosen, I'm going to cry, I have chosen to be brave and bold. I have chosen, I've stepped out and said, okay, God, you're calling me to be a minister. I don't want to do that very much. I'd like to sit there, right at the back where Fiona is. But you're telling me that I'm standing here every week now, and you're telling me that I'm going to lead people, and you're telling me I've got to say that on Sunday, Lord. I don't want to say that on Sunday. Imagine if nobody does what I ask them to do. Imagine if they will laugh at me. But I have to trust that the Holy Spirit works through me and empowers me. And that as I speak, he's touching you and he's speaking to you. And he's empowering you and he's nudging you and saying to you, come on, come on. We've got a work to do. The time is now. So I've got a challenge for you this morning. I want you to take the lid off your God box. And I want you to be open to what the Holy Spirit might want to do in you and through you as he empowers you and gives you authority to do his work, the work that he has left for you. Don't worry about when I'm going to return, he says. Don't bother yourself with that. Don't mither with that. What you need to do is think about the work I've given you to do and get on with it, because you don't know when I'm coming back, and it could be tomorrow. The work is not just for the leaders of the church. We are the royal priesthood of believers. Each one of us have been called to it. We are all followers. We are all disciples if we've been baptized and we believe in Jesus Christ. And the time for action is now. People are desperate out there to hear some good news, the good news. And we are responsible for telling them. Now, as I was praying and being kept awake all night and pictures of boxes, and I had another picture of the church, and I just had a picture of the Holy Spirit coming like a river into this church, starting from the top of the church and flowing down that central aisle and out into the community of Wellington. And I just sensed that God wanted to challenge us this morning about whether or not we wanted to step into that river of the Holy Spirit, to be refreshed and to be renewed. We read a Bible passage in the week, and it talked about this river of the Holy Spirit, and that as it washed over people, they were refreshed and they were alive, and the trees on either side began to be fruitful as it poured out. And that's what I want for our church and our community. I want this river of the Holy Spirit to flow down this church, and to flow out into the community through us as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are refreshed and as we are woken up and as we are made alive. Now, you might be well-versed in the Holy Spirit. You might be somebody who's really open to the Holy Spirit, and, you know, you're happy to be filled and feel a sense of God's peace on you, or a bit of emotion, or, you know, you might even cry. It might make you laugh. Or you might be sitting there thinking, I've never taken the lid off that box to the Holy Spirit, and I'm certainly not doing it this morning. It's staying firmly where he is. But I really want to encourage you that as we take an extended time of worship this morning, if you sense God's calling you to just stand up, then please do so and just open your hands to him. And if you sense that God's saying, actually, I want you to take a step of faith here, and I want you to come and stand in the river of the Holy Spirit, in this fresh, life-giving water that I have to offer you, and why wouldn't you want to? God, then come and stand in this river of the Holy Spirit, of this life-giving water that he offers you. The band are going to come up, and we've got a couple of songs that we're going to play. And I've asked them to play the second one just over and over. It's a very simple refrain, and we're just going to sing it. And I just, you know, just I invite you to stand up, to sing, to worship, to pray, but also to step into that river of the Holy Spirit and to come and receive what he wants to give you this morning.